You are now listening to the 360 Places podcast.
You know, about hotels versus Airbnb.
I personally, but for the four different countries, I think I was in the country.
Wow.
It gets emotional when you talk about that.
Yeah. What's up, people? Welcome back to the 360 Places podcast. So this is episode number 30. And yeah, so for those of you who are tuning into the podcast for the first time, welcome to the family. So in this podcast, we talk about interesting stories and topics around travel and living abroad. And in this episode, today with me is one of, a good friend of mine. And it's been a while since we planned to have this episode. And now it's finally happening. I'm really happy for that. She's coming from a very well-developed country in Africa, one of the wealthiest. And yeah, I can't wait to get in the conversation. What's up, Mona?
Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm okay. Mm. Good seeing you.
You look good. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I want to be the one who's going to break the ice. Mm-hmm. I want you to introduce yourself a little bit. Let the people know who you are. Then we get right into it.
Okay. So, hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Mona Lisa Chikambure. I'm from South Africa, yeah. And I'm currently at University of Eastern Africa, Baraton, studying biomedical science. Yeah, well, it's a hustle, but I'm surviving. Yeah, I'll be finishing soon, though, finally. Yeah.
You can't wait to graduate.
I can't wait to graduate. I mean,
Why, though? Is it because of school, or is it because you're far from home?
Well, I don't mind being far from home, honestly. Well, but this environment is not really that good.
Okay,
for me personally, the stuff that happens. Well, socially, it's fine. People are fun, obviously, you know. And there's some entertainment here and there. But basically, some stuff are just not bearable. So I can't wait to go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to share the stuff that's not bearable?
All right. Okay.
Yeah, just a few examples.
Well, from where I come from, we kind of eat better, you know. And here you have to be forced to eat some stuff that you really haven't met before. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think Ndengu is one of them.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's like the biggest Ndengu. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I got used to it. But, you know, you're not supposed to get used to stuff like that. I mean, they could have done something about it. But anyways, yeah, the food is bad. I do like the environment. Kind of economically, it's good. You can leave, you can buy stuff, you can eat and sleep. So yeah, I like it. And then, the people, they're good people. In a place, always there are always good people and bad people. But I don't really vibe so well
with
the people.
The
locals, yes, that is. But with most.
Yeah, now we're talking Kenyans, just to be specific.
You do have to be, but yeah. Yeah, that.
Oh, wow.
But the rest, I think I managed. I conquered.
Well, like you talked about an interesting part of the things that you don't like and the things that you like. You did say it's good economically. Since you're coming from a country that's very developed compared to Kenya, right?
Yes.
But as for me, who is coming from a country that is less developed than Kenya, I feel like economically, this place is the standard of living is high compared to my country. But for you, it's different. I mean, and we had Ashley. She's also from where you come from, South Africa. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, a lot of different things that happen in South Africa and, you know, just adjusting from the life in South Africa to Kenya.
Yeah.
And she really talked about a lot of, you know, things that the black side of South Africa, like the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about, you know, you gotta be very, very active in Joburg. If you're not active, if you don't think first, then
you're gonna rob you.
Yeah. She talked about you know, racism in Cape Town. She talked about all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this episode, I want it to be a twist. Mm-hmm. I want us to talk about, you know, the good part of South Africa.
The good part of South
Africa. Yeah, because I remember when we had this conversation and you told me you stay in South Africa. And apparently, guys, she's what's your nationality?
My national ID. No, yeah. It's not. It's Zimbabwean.
This is Zimbabwean.
Yeah, it's Zimbabwean. So, but I do stay in South Africa.
How come you stay in South Africa?
Well, my mom just got a job there and then she relocated. So I just go where my mom is.
Oh.
So it's most of my life I've been there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you moved from Zim when you're how old?
Well, I don't remember, but sometime. Okay, I don't remember precisely, but I was quite young. I was young. Yeah. I was quite young. Like, I mean, I don't know. Beginning high school.
Why does everybody move from Zimbabwe to South Africa? Like you said,
yeah. It's quite developed. I mean, life there is quite good. What you need, you get what you want. I mean, you can leave.
Trust.
There's everything, like everything.
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 Okay. Looking at Kenya, mm-hmm. And the place where we are in the university and comparing it to South Africa, I mean, it's so developed. I mean, you have skyscrapers, you have big malls. I mean, you have all these fancy food joints.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different, you know, adjusting to from that environment, you know, coming from a very rich, you know,
place, yeah.
wealthy country? Yeah.
So basically when you leave home, coming here, it's not like someone told you that they're kettle and bad food.
Mm.
You know, you just hear that you're going to university and in your mind you think, okay, I'm going to university, it's going to be cool, everything's going to be okay. It's university, I mean, everything's supposed to be in standard room, supposed to be perfect, the food is supposed to be perfect. I mean, it is a university and the amount of money you'll be paying is supposed to be like. So when you get here and then you realize that, okay, like, wow.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. You have... Okay, yeah. Mostly you have nothing you're going to do about it. Because yeah. if you go home and then you tell your mom, oh, mom, it's so bad. She'll think maybe you're just being sissy, you know, like... Yeah.
You've been picky.
Yeah. And then...
But then again, like, if you think about it, do you feel the food is bad because you had a high standard before coming here? Or is it just bad?
It is bad. It is bad because I eat better at home. Yeah. It is bad because... I don't know. Maybe it's just their way of cooking.
Yeah.
I know I've interacted with some of them and spicing food, garnishing and stuff, that the stuff we do at home is not their stuff. They actually enjoy their food plain and the way it is.
Yeah.
To them, it's good.
Yeah.
So being someone who would have eaten good food at home and then you come and eat ndengu here, it's...
Chapo.
I mean, it just like two opposite directions. Yeah, it is different.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Let's take this vibe from Kenya. Let's go straight to South Africa, man.
Okay.
Let's go away from the dengue vibe.
Okay.
So which part of South Africa do you stay?
I stay in a place called Paris.
Paris, like, you like, know, like Paris, Paris. Paris,
but then like spelled differently. Yeah. It's, well, my mom recently moved to that place, so it's not really that I'm used to it. I used to stay in a different place, closer to Joburg and stuff.
What was that?
It's called Sibugeng.
Sibugeng.
Sibugeng. Mm-hmm.
Sibugeng, here we come.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
So the new part is the part where your mom moved to recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. it's a smaller town compared to...
It's a smaller town. It's a very small town. It is. Actually, the fun... I don't know if it's a funny thing or good thing or whatever, but then it's kind of like a village. Not a village per se, but it's like a barasi type of a thing. But I get to have a better living there than here. And yet it's almost the same.
Almost similar.
It's a good place. Huh. It is. It's quiet. I mean, gangster life, it's law. No stabbing and killing. So, yeah.
It's safer.
It's good.
Compared to other parts of South Africa.
Yeah, you know, I literally have to walk around Joburg carrying like pepper spray. So.
Huh. Is it the best? Okay, when we talk to Ashley... Not that you brought that up, I didn't want to talk about that side, but we just gotta go with it now. Okay. That you talked about it, Ashley said when she goes to Joburg, she has to dress like a hobo, that she has to look homeless.
True.
That's true.
You just, okay, either you have to look homeless or you have to look like, you have to belong, you have to blend, you have to look like the gangster they are, so that they'll be too afraid to come close.
Oh.
So it's either homeless, you have nothing to lose, or gangster like them, come, I'll fight, kind of a thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So every time you go to Joburg, your handbag is packed.
You don't really have to pack anything.
No.
I mean, you just have to carry your money somewhere inside there where nobody can reach, and then leave your phone at home. Maybe carry that small phone that you just need to make a call. And then
you walk. That's Joburg.
That's Joburg. Mm-hmm. Okay. But every time you get used to it, maybe you can carry your stuff comfortably. But a lot happens in Joburg.
When you know the areas to go to that are safe.
Well, I don't think there's an area that's safe, because the less of the people, the more the violent. Because I feel like if you are alone in a place, like, okay, you've told yourself now there are no people around, so I can be alone and free. That is when now they come easily, because it's like outskates. That's why there are no people. So yeah, it's actually, I think it's actually safer in the busy place. And also not safe, because those guys are not even afraid of stopping you in the middle of like the road and
searching. And no one question them.
No one will question them. They'll be holding guns and knives. I mean,
they'll be holding guns.
Yeah, you'll be afraid for your life. How are you supposed to question them? You also run for your life.
Yeah, so if I'm the one I'm not gonna help you, mate. That's the gun we're talking about.
It is what it is.
Wow. So besides this scary part of Joburg, how cool can Joburg be?
Oh, so cool. I mean, it has, I can't even start to say, it has the best joints. Oh. We young, we want to party, we want to eat good stuff. It has the best joints. Like, well, I've not been to many joints, because most of the times I'm barely in Joburg. But the few that I've visited, it was nice. I feel like you're in Joburg, you don't have to think about going somewhere else to get something. You get everything there. Like, good clothes, good food. Nice joints. I mean, you wouldn't think of even going to Zanzibar, but though it's...
Whoa. Yo, slow down. So you would compare Joburg to Zanzibar?
No, I'm not comparing per se. I'm just saying it makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
It makes you comfortable. It makes you want to be there. I mean, there are some places like Kenya here right now, and if I want to wear something, I have to like... look for Tanzania, something like that, and get shoes. You know, I'm not really getting everything I need, but with Joburg, you get
everything is in there.
It's there. I mean, everything's just there. You just have to be there yourself.
Wow.
That's good about it.
It's, and you remember you promised me to take me around South Africa when I come. I'm gonna hold you. Like,
don't worry,
I didn't even say this on purpose, but it's recorded now. Now it's gonna be on the internet.
Okay, you win.
Yeah. I'll take you. No, I have two people to take me around.
Ah, yeah. Can I be the first one?
Okay. I'll think about it.
Okay. I'll be waiting.
All right, Mona. Okay, we're gonna get back to Joburg and South Africa as a whole. And now I just want to know you as a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for people as well to know how interested Mona is, because I find you very interested. And one of the things that we talked about, I remember when we started talking earlier, we talked about your height. I don't know if you guys can see, but she's pretty tall. I think you're taller than me?
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Okay.
Proudly, I guess.
and you talked about the insecure side of, you know, being a tall girl. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess I'm going to start from the bottom. That is before I got like comfortable with being tall. I used to run from people, want to be alone, think maybe I don't fit in and stuff. But with time, I think it's growth. I mean, you grow, glow. So I got comfortable and actually figured when you're tall in an environment, well, where we come from, being tall is like a big thing. I get to be the only tall person around and there's nobody else tall. So they look at me with those eyes. So you get to choose, what can I say? You get to find your superpower.
Oh.
Like something that you're good at, something that can make you stand out, you see?
Wow.
So, well, in high school, I used to be like good at sports. So I took that as my
netball?
Own thing. Everything, basically. I used to do everything.
Okay.
So I took that as my safe space. That was my safe space. I used to be so comfortable. Playing ball and going out, competing in the provincials. I mean, when I come back to school and they'll be telling, oh, you did good. And yeah, this is my safe space. But it has its challenges though, like quite a lot. Yeah. I mean, being tall comes with the fact that you wear a big shoe size. So it's a bomb.
Yeah. Female size, yeah?
Yeah.
But how does that affect your love life?
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well... it's quite tricky. Being tall makes you not being able to choose, but to be chosen. You get what I mean? Because you get that the guy that I like, the guy that I'm crushing on, is short. And I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, can I really date that guy? I mean, if I'm working with him, they'll just say my little brother.
Wow. Is it that deep? I feel like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm trying to see where you're coming from because I literally can't, right? Because I'm a dude and I'm not that tall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, seeing, as in for me, when I see a very short girl,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be, you know, afraid to date them because they're very short.
Yeah.
So, for you to say, you're looking at a nigga who's, you know, short, they're short, and you know, like, the nigga is very, very short. It's not short. It's just that you're tall, right?
Yeah, I'm taller.
Yeah, you're taller. And you feel like, yo, he's going to look like my little brother. Why would I date him in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, okay, it's good. It's good, maybe. But when you ask me, I don't find that a solid reason for you not to date someone. Just because they're shorter than you.
I'm supposed to be comfortable with my boyfriend. I'm thinking of a lot of things. They're small, but I kind of... I'm thinking of him carrying me. I want to be carried around. I mean, I want to be babied.
Okay.
But he's too short. I'm afraid for him. Is he going to be able to handle me and my height?
Oh.
Is he as a man feeling like a man when working with me and I'm taller? You know, those are the things that I just think about. And I'm like, even me as a lady, I'm not comfortable to say, okay, guys, here's my boyfriend. And he's like my shoulder height. You know? So, yeah, there are a lot of stuff. And you know, the tall guys are the guys that most of the times nobody likes. In a group of people, the short guys are the cool, cute, handsome, attractive guys. Not short, but shorter than me guys are the cool
average
handsome.
Average height.
Yeah, average height. Like, basically shorter than me, yeah. And then the taller ones, he'll be like... Well,
this is okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, and then now you get to be forced to date that person just because you kind of have no choice with your height. It's just once or twice that you get a guy that you like, he's cool, and he's all you want, and then he's taller than you. That's like a bonus.
Jackpot.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't sleep on that night.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
Wow. So for all tall girls out there who were listening to this, man, get comfortable with your bodies.
Comfort.
Yeah, right on.
That's the major thing,
right,
actually.
You can actually date short guys. Come on, like, come on.
Okay.
We human too.
Okay, we hear you.
Okay. Let's go back to South Africa, right? So you talked about Joburg is the place to be. Like, you know, parties are always going on. There are a lot of good joints, you know, too, if you want to eat. I mean, you have KFC, you have all that going on.
Yeah, sure.
So, the nightlife, how is it?
The nightlife?
Yeah,
well,
in Joburg.
I've never been around at night. Well, I don't know. Because I'm actually afraid to die, so...
it's that unsafe.
It is. I didn't want to talk about the bedside, but I would personally...
It just comes up.
Mm-hmm, I wouldn't walk around at night alone. I mean, I've attended, like, a varsity party in... Well, it's not really Joburg, but a few kilometers away at night. It was just something else. I mean, that's all I can say about the night, because I was there, and me being from Baraton, and them being from there, I mean, they were comfortable with like everything and anything, some stuff that I've never seen before, and it was nice.
Yeah.
It was cool. They were free. They were having fun. It was good. That's like all the experience I've got at night. Somewhere around South Africa.
Okay, I guess we're gonna have to look for somebody else to talk about the nightlife.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, one thing I like about South Africans, it's their style of dance. Number two, I like how I don't know if it's high school or middle school,
mm-hmm.
how ladies dress.
Mm-hmm. The short skirts.
Yeah,
stuff.
The short skirts. I mean, it's so sexy. It's so cool.
come on, it has to be. I mean, and you realize that those cute girls, they're in high school, but they've already have those matured bodies and hairs popping up and everything. They look so good. Yeah.
So their bodies, like, you know, you can see you can see it from, you know, from the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
The other thing good with South Africans in South Africa, those guys basically know how to live. They got this policy of YOLO. You only live once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they make sure that they party hard, they eat hard, they eat enough. I mean, you don't think about, they don't think much about what's going to happen tomorrow and the problems that are going to come with, but they live the moment. I like that.
They're in the moment.
I love it so much. They go out for holidays and, you know, they don't restrict themselves thinking of whatever is going to happen later and everything like that, but they just live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you been to a stripper club before?
No.
Do you want to try it?
I do want to try.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting.
I can't wait to get there.
So a friend of mine, she talked about her experience in South Africa. Mm-hmm. She went to this strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was full of ladies. The only guys who were there were the guys maybe, you know, who are also clans. But the staff that was serving you, you know, the waitresses, you know, the DJ, everybody, they were just ladies. Then, you know, they got into the club, you know, it was a strip club, and, you know, the waitresses, they were halfly dressed. I mean, it's a strip club, right? So, like, everybody was just, you know, chilled and in their moment, you know, feeling the vibe. Then after a few minutes, when the night got, you know, got on its toes, so the shows began, strippers started coming in on stage, you know, they were dancing, taking their clothes off.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what was interesting about the story is that she's a lady, but she was super excited for the experience, right?
I would be excited.
Why would you be, though? Why would you go to a male strip club?
Okay, I can go to the male strip club. Okay, mostly I think there'll be male gay guys in a male strip club. So I can, but I expect males in a ladies' strip club. So I can meet someone there.
Oh.
So yeah.
So
I'll go to a female strip club to meet a guy, because obviously there'll be guys looking for the female. But if I go to the male strip club, I feel like
nervously gays.
Yeah, something like that.
So would you buy a dance? Would you buy a dance from a stripper?
I want to feel that thing. I'm tired of watching it on TV.
Okay.
Definitely.
Let me make this promise online.
Mm-hmm.
God, who's calling?
Okay. Don't mind that.
Yo, we're doing a podcast. Chill. Okay. I want to make this promise, right? And it's gonna be on tape. It's gonna be on camera. It's gonna be on the internet. So I'm making this promise.
Okay.
And she's gonna hold me down to it, right? So when I come to South Africa.
When you come to South Africa?
Yeah. And you told me, I'm still thinking about it, but you're probably going to be the first person to check me around, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might come with a friend or alone, but preferably I'll come with a friend. When I come to South Africa and you are going to be like, you know, the person to show us around, we're going to go to a strip club.
Definitely. I would love that.
You'd love that?
I would love that.
Okay. Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed, man.
I'll be waiting.
You'll be waiting.
Yeah. Counting down.
Yeah. It won't be long.
It doesn't have to be long.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have December. We have the next December.
Yeah. Oh, December we're free.
By the way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 We can make it happen.
Yeah, by this December. Okay. Let's see. Probably the next.
Come on, stop doubting. Yeah,
but I've been planning to, you know, like visit South Africa
for a
you
long
know,
time. Huh?
That's the problem with this December. When I travel, when I go to a place, I want to go there and have fun. I just don't want to go there and take pictures. Oh, I'm in SA.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I want to go there and, you know, have the time of my life.
True.
And in order to do that, you have to save, you know, cash.
True.
Yeah. So I'm thinking this December, with the cash that I will have saved, it's going to be enough, you know, to take me to SA and back.
But it's
not going to be enough to actually leave in SA, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, we're gonna
patiently.
Be, yeah. Because when you're in a strip club, you wouldn't just sit there, you know, and enjoy the lap dance. After, you know, paying for the lap dance, you have to tip.
Yeah, sure that you
Yeah. Roll some cash, man. And she's even gonna give you a better service.
True.
When you do that. Mm-hmm. Right, right, mm-hmm. right. So
fine, we'll prepare for it properly.
We'll prepare for it properly, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna hold you down for the preparation part, mm-hmm. and you're gonna hold me down for the, you know, coming there.
You being their part.
Yeah, me. Cool. Yeah. Cool. I'm gonna be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a date.
It's a strip club date.
It has to be a date.
It has to be a date. Yeah, 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 yeah. By the way, I mean, you know, things that in this realm of travel and, you know, like road trips and all that, mm-hmm. when you don't plan something for a wrong time,
yeah,
normally it's the best experience that you're gonna have.
True.
So when we're planning for this trip, let's not plan it all the way, you know. Let's just say I'm coming to SA, we're gonna go to 1, 2, 3, 4.
True.
Then yeah. when we're there, it's spontaneously and we're gonna just... Yeah.
Do us there.
Do our thing. Yeah, yeah, man. So if anybody's listening to this and they want to tag along.
Please, come on along.
Please.
Come prepared, though.
Come prepared,
it's going to be like lit, lit, lit.
It's going to be lit. And you can show love to Mona on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the handle.
MonaLisa19.
MonaLisa19.
Mm. Actually, it's MonaLisa09. Oh, this is me forgetting my Instagram. MonaLisa09, yeah.
By the way, mm-hmm. talking about Instagram, I know you didn't want me to bring this up, but I'm gonna bring it anyway.
You just had to go there.
Yeah, I had come to go on. There. You know, I was looking for a way to bring it in, but
come on. But I
got there. Right. So on Instagram, 2 days ago, mm-hmm. 1 day ago, 2 days ago, you gave an opportunity for, you know, people follow you to ask you questions, right?
Yeah.
And they're very interesting questions.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting questions.
For me too.
You know, yeah, for you too. Right, right. For me it was very interesting. So one question that, you know, but you don't have to answer it or anything. I'm just saying, I just want to not know your reaction when you first read it, right? Mm-hmm. So the question was, are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So was that a response?
Oh, no.
Oh, you're saying yes to the question.
Yes,
oh,
I agree with you. The question was that.
How
yes.
was your reaction?
Honestly, I don't know.
Did you even expect that question to come?
I didn't. Actually, the person who asked me had a lot of guys to ask me that questions.
But do you know them?
I do. It's a close friend.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I do. It's a guy.
It's a guy. Wow.
Yes. Actually, it was interesting because I was like, okay, so he wants to know, but for what?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Guys have tests too. You know.
I asked him for what? Okay, in my inbox, of course. He didn't give me any reason to answer him, so that was that.
Okay, but the answer was obvious.
You think?
I know you, because,
mm-hmm.
I know you. I don't know you that way, but...
You know me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, you just keep that answer.
Enough to get an answer.
You're going to keep that answer, and I'll keep the real answer. So
okay. Okay. Everybody should stay on the late. But what do you think about that particular comment? I mean, you know, people putting you in these boxes, you know, for females. Maybe you're 18, you're 20, you're 22, and mm-hmm. somebody asking you if you're a virgin, and... Do you feel that is important, you know?
The virginity part?
Yeah, the virginity part.
Well, with the days we're living in. Well, for me, it is important, by the way.
For
personally.
You.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I was smiling because...
Wait a minute. This is getting interesting. It is
come
important
on, come
to
on.
You.
It is important. It is.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel powerful some kind of a way. So it is. I didn't answer anything, by the way. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that he asked, meaning it's not obvious that I'm not. It's not obvious that I am. Okay.
He wasn't sure.
Meaning I'm not that kind of a person who you can just guess that this one. Like it's done. You see?
So you have to ask. Oh.
So he had to ask, which means I'm not... what's the word?
You're not all the way out.
Yeah, to people.
Oh.
So, which means there's a certain way people see me. Like,
yeah.
You had to ask to know. You can't guess. You know, with someone else, you could just guess and like, this one. this one. You see? So,
yeah.
I like that part. The part that.
He had to ask.
He had to ask
and
for him to know.
You feel good about it.
I feel good about it. I felt good about it, at least. Yeah,
wow.
I did.
Wow. So it's that important to you?
It is. It makes me... I told you, as a tall person, you have to have some things that make you a superwoman because you're kind of different from the rest of the ladies. It makes me different. I feel like it makes me different being tall from the rest of the ladies. It just puts me... It makes me a bit of an outcast. Not much, but a bit. But, well, I'm okay with it because I'm comfortable with my height. Like, if you can't reach my height, then get out of here. So,
okay. We're gonna try and reach it. Yeah, the boys will try and reach it. Yo, so when we're off the microphone, we're talking about you ended telling me a story about how Kenyans stand up.
Oh yeah, those guys are good. We actually had a party, you know, and we were like playing South African music and mostly just communicating in our language, but they were vibing more than us in the party. I mean, the music, they were dancing more than us, but then yet...
It was your party.
It was our party. Yeah. I mean, those guys are lit. They're fire.
Yeah, Kenyans are lit. Like,
yeah, they know how to do their thing.
If you compare them to South Africans, who are more lit?
South Africans. Did you have to ask that? Anyway, you asked
it. Of course I did. Because, you know, I find Kenyans very, very hyped. You know, they know
they
how to party. Yeah.
They are, they do, but South Africans, I mean, you can see the South Africans around.
Yeah.
Those guys are just, it's a different level.
I love your dances.
They're good.
You're very good.
I'll take you through one or two. Okay. Just when I'm too excited.
All right, after the podcast, we're going right into it, you know. So
we have to do it.
We have to do it, yeah? And I find ladies, when ladies dance, they're more attractive to the dancers than we get when guys dance.
Just because there's twerking and S involved?
No. That's not even the case. No, there are particular dances that, you know, ladies look good in. For example, I'll give an example, you know. The dance that I know from Nigeria, I think, or Ghana. It's called Azonto.
Azonto. Oh, yeah, true, Azonto. True.
Now,
true.
You compare when a guy dances and a lady dances. A lady, like, it looks better, you know. When she moves, she has a bigger chest, right? Boobs, you know, boobs and everything. So when she... So when she moves, you know, you could see her move properly than when a guy moves.
I kind of feel like we're more flexible. Because if I can twist my waist like that, and you can do that, so obviously when I dance Azonto...
Yeah, true. And so, can you dance Azonto?
Well, I can try.
You want to show me...
After the show.
Oh, a lot is happening after the show. You guys, tomorrow is Mona's birthday. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow is the day that I'm going to release this episode. So... Today, so I'm gonna say today because we recorded it through the time to release the episode. So today is Mona's birthday. I want you guys to go in a Instagram account that I'm gonna link below. Show her some love, you know, just emojis. Don't go crawling into her DMs. Are you taken?
You're welcome.
Are you taken?
Oh yeah, very taken.
Very taken.
Like comfortably taken.
That's a bold step.
Well,
bold.
I'm sorry, but we can do something about it. That's a joke.
By the way, growing up, I watched this movie called Sorafina. Mm-hmm. I reckon you're very familiar with it.
True.
So it was a story of this lady, you know, during the apartheid, when you guys were segmented, you know, black people eat crap, you know, go to crappy schools, and, you know, the white
crappy
people,
toilets
yeah,
and
crappy
everything.
Toilets and everything,
yeah,
and white people had the good stuff. Mm-hmm. How big is the movie? You know, like in other parts of Africa, like in my country, Tanzania, it's a very big movie. During my time, it was a very big movie. I don't know about Kenya. I've only been here for 3 years. So how big of a movie is it?
It's quite huge because that movie kind of taught a lot of African countries like a big thing about standing up for themselves and everything. And it also came with interesting music and nice dance. So it's huge. I don't know how I can make it as huge as it is, but in words, but it is quite a huge thing because it impacted a lot of people, African countries, and lives, I guess.
And culturally as well.
And culture, yeah. You know, you gotta be proud of your thing. Yeah, I mean, confidence and standing out, what those youth did, it was just beautiful.
And was it based on a true story?
It is actually based on the true story. If you got down with the history of South Africa, apartheid and everything, the youth stood. There's actually a holiday where they celebrate the whole youth for standing up and making it better for us youth of today. So it is based on a true story, and it's quite inspirational.
So it wasn't the old, you know, wise people who stood up. It was the youth.
It was the youth who stood up. Because you could see in the movie they are wearing uniforms. Yeah, it was the youth who actually said, enough is enough. We are going to fight. So, yeah. So some died in the process, as you saw in the movie. It really happened. It did.
Oh, that's very powerful.
It is.
I mean, like, just think about it. It's youth.
It's the youth, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like...
That's so cool. I don't even know what to say. Like, I have chills. Literally, I have chills.
Yeah. We got to stand up, though. Yeah, speak up and do something.
To. And what does it say to you, you know, as a youth?
Okay, it taught me a lot. That movie, the whole apartheid youth standing up, it taught me as a person a lot of things. Why should I keep quiet and be silent whilst I'm feeling abused or, you know, inferior? So I learned, you don't have to be rude about it, but if you need something to be done or need something to be changed in your life, just speak up, tell someone, do something. Be your own voice. Exactly. No one's going to come and take you. It is all you on you. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
No one cares shit for you, man. You got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do to
you
survive.
You
got to
survive.
Yeah.
True.
That's all you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, looking at our cultures, I don't want to generalize the African culture, but, you know, the culture in my country, it's seen as if youth, you know, they don't know what they're doing.
True.
Or sometimes what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, they need to be monitored to do certain things.
Yeah, they need
and
to
sometimes,
be
you know, there are systems that are in place, you know, when you grow up, you know, your parents know that they have to take you to school, they have to do 1, 2, 3. But sometimes, you know, as youth, we're living in a very different, you know, era compared to what our previous generation grew up to.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, you get the urge or the need to step out of this line and, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
And because it's new to them, they feel like, you know, it's wrong. It might not be right. It might not be wrong, but they just assume, you know, off the feet it's wrong. So, you know, like getting to hear this story in real time from you and getting the perspective, the whole perspective, because like, I didn't know it was based on a true story, or maybe other people knew, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was that celebrated, and you have actually a holiday, you know, that celebrates youth.
Yeah.
I mean, that empowers youth.
It empowers youth. Very. Actually, I actually don't like the fact that the grown-ups think because they've outlived us, everything they know. I feel like with the generation we're going into, most stuff we might know a little bit better than, okay, we have to just accept we know better in technology, and they may claim that it's not important, but it's the life we're living.
Yeah, true.
So I feel like we should be listened to, and then maybe they can just think about it. Sometimes they don't even want to hear you speak, hear you put your point on the table, because
right.
It's irrelevant, because you're too young. You're too young to understand. That's all they say.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, look at the situation now. So a lot of people, you know, they complain in social media, oh, youth, you know, you're always on your phone, you know, like, get off the phone.
Yeah.
But I'm contrary, like, to what they're saying. I actually tell people to get on their phones, like, get on your phone, because everything is happening in
on
there.
On the phone,
businesses,
you make money.
You know, you
true.
Make calls. You,
everything.
Like,
you link
in
up
there.
On
yeah,
the phone.
Yeah, like, everybody. All these big tech companies, you know, talk of Facebook, Instagram, they're all working to, you know, modernize, you know, the technology based on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
They want to improve, you know, your experience with the phone.
Yeah.
You know, businesses are in the phone, you know, talk of
everything.
Companies, jobs, people are not working remotely.
Looking at the fact that there's a pandemic, we're not allowed to be together in a place. So phone. What else can you do?
Yeah. Don't go to Netflix and chill sometimes, bro. Can't be slack.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was literally dope talking to you. And I feel like our time is running out.
Okay, thank you for having me.
But we still have a few minutes, like okay. 3 minutes to wrap it up.
All right.
And now that you've taken me to this whole youth thing, I'm literally like pumped to talk more. Because I get very emotional.
You should make an episode.
Yeah, I should make an episode.
Yeah, so that we got deep into it.
Yeah, right. Because I get very emotional sometimes, you know. For me, I feel I'm very lucky, you know, to know what I want to do with my life very early.
And to choose that, not to be chosen for.
Yeah, not to be chosen for. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Choosing this, you know, there was some effort and, you know, like push and pull from, from the parents and stuff. But still, I went for it, right?
True.
And there's still a lot of, you know, struggles. I still haven't, like, found myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on the way.
True.
And there are other people who are not on the way, but they're getting, you know, rebellious, you know, comments from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being in this situation where you feel like, okay, with me, I'm not figuring it out, but I'm on the way to figure it out.
Yeah, it doesn't come once.
Yeah, and, you know, you see in your friend, they're in this situation where, you know, they don't even know what to do with their lives because they're dictated by their parents every single step. And, you know, you can't do anything about it because you're also trying to, you know, figure it out on your own. You can't help them because, you know, I get very emotional because, like, I have a friend of mine. I don't want to mention their names or anything because a lot of people who listen to the podcast are my friends as well, so they might know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really talented in certain things, and you know he's really good. He's just good. I mean,
When
you see him working in his, you know, his craft, when he does certain things, let's just give an example. Maybe he's good in football.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him on the pitch. Oh my God! Like
you just wanna
watch him because the way he moves, the way he plays the ball. But nobody understands that. They're just pushing him to gotta do your quizzes. You gotta do school.
Yeah, true.
And looking at his progress with school, mm-hmm. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Good. It's not going well.
Yeah.
And he can't speak for himself. He's literally just saying, "Yeah, I'm just gonna because they're paying for this shit."
So I just have to do it. But we should make it better for the coming. We are growing up. We will not be youth forever. So we should make sure that for our kids and our kids' kids, they get what they need to do. If you want to be an artist, come on, be an artist. It's what you're good at.
Yeah.
Being forced to do biology and you know that you don't even know biology and yet your mom wants to be a biologist, it doesn't work. So I feel we will be the difference. The fact that we see it
will
make a difference.
By the way, we're changing step by step.
We'll have to change it.
Step by step, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to come visit your kids and see how they...
Definitely. You should come up, Uncle Jay. if they could talk, I mean, they could even choose their names.
Wow. That level of freedom.
Okay, it doesn't have to be that deep freedom, but some things they should already start learning to make choices because life is a hustle.
I mean,
it's not all in the books, by the way. Streetwise, important.
True. There's no formula, man.
Yeah, true.
You just gotta explore different. This is the thing as well. I mean, you know, life has no formula.
Mm-hmm.
You could be, you know, doing biology and you end up working as a chemist. I mean, you could be doing this. So, when people tie you up in this, you know, one route, you don't have the chance to explore all other things.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you don't know what you're good at or you don't know what you want to do with your life. But when you start exploring, like, you know, you do this, you do this.
At the end of the day,
Oh, I like being a stylist. So from there, you'll be a stylist.
You're good at it and then you do it.
You do it. Mm-hmm. So, man, if you're listening to this, I mean, nobody's going to come help you, you know, chase your dreams. You know, nobody's going to come help you.
It's all you.
Be who you want to be. I mean, it's all you. You gotta step up and let everybody know that, you know, I want this, I'm going to get it. And sometimes you're gonna, you know, face rebellion from, you know, even from your close, you know, people, your friends,
people, the closest, your family,
they discourage you, you know, and actually understand where they're coming from. People who discourage other people,
because
they do it out of love. It's not like they do it like because they hate you. Mm-hmm. No, they do it out of love because they're not in your head. They don't see your visions, right?
Yeah,
and they. doctors, you know, they're paid well. So
yeah, true.
So you gotta be a doctor.
It doesn't always work for everybody. At the same time, it doesn't. Yeah. You know, you might do something that I might do something. I might start painting and it doesn't work for me. And then he starts painting and boom, things go well.
Yeah, true.
So
true.
I may speak on my perspective and say, please don't paint, it's bad. But why not let him try?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, like, you know, our elders tried a lot of things and they failed and they tried again and they tried different things. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they allow us to fail as well?
True. After you learn that way, a mistake, I mean, it's the greatest lesson.
True. Mm-hmm. Oh, this episode was powerful, man. To the end. I mean, if you... Okay, I'm going to cut this short clip off the podcast and post it. If you're going to listen to this episode, please listen to it to the end. I know we promised to talk about South Africa, the best part of South Africa. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have that talked on a different episode. But for today, it was just, you know, getting to know Mona Lisa and getting to put our views out, you know, as far as, you know, youth goes, as far as, you know, standing up for yourself goes. Because I feel like, okay, in this podcast, we talk about, you know, living abroad and travel, but, you know, we're youth as well. I mean, we have to address, you know, things that are going on in the society.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
some people don't have voices. We might as well as be your voices, mate. So if you got a talent, if you got a skill, and sometimes you have to make sacrifices because people who discourage you don't see
what is in you.
What is in you?
Mm-hmm.
I got this, you know, I want to tell this story, but it's going to make me feel like I made it already, but I'm just still all the way. Actually, I'm 1%. All the way. So I got this voice note from a friend of mine. He told me, yo, I remember, because I took a gap year when I finished high school. After a gap year. You too?
Yeah.
Wow, high five.
I too.
Nice. So I took a gap year before like joining university. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to put my head in the right space and just work my shit out.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent this. I posted a link of the previous episode that I did with a blogger called Lynn. Mm-hmm. Yo, guys, you should watch that episode out. It's dope. It's episode number 29. She talked all about blogging. I mean, content creation, how you get paid, you know, how to sustain your travel with content creation, how you can, you know, partner with other brands and get money from it. So episode 29. That's the go-to. So I posted a link on my WhatsApp status as well as my social. Wait, you guys follow me on my socials. Instagram at jsojara as well. So yeah, I posted that and he sent me a voice note. Oh God, he's going to listen to this episode. He's going to hear his story told. But anyway, fuck it.
You had to.
Yeah, I had to. So he told me, yo, I remember when we were joining university because we were like on the same level with him when you're doing high school. So he told me, I remember when we were joining university and you stayed, you know, you didn't go to uni.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is this dude thinking? Like, why shouldn't he go right now? I mean, life is hard.
Wait?
Yeah, why wait? Then he told me, you know, I was judging because, and this is very powerful. I'm saying this because it was very powerful and I needed to hear it as well.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was judging because I didn't know what you had in you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know your plans. I didn't know your visions. I didn't know what you wanted to do with your life.
Mm-hmm.
So from the outside, I was judging. And I felt very empowered by that because, you know, in most cases, we listen to people who look it from the outside. They don't know what's
really inside.
What's really inside.
What your plan is.
Yeah. And and if you let them, you know, dictate what you want to do, just from, you know, looking from the outside, it's going to fuck you up. It's not going to fuck them up because they have their life figured out.
You regretted the rest of their life.
Because they're now dictating your life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's your parents or your guardians, your friends. I mean, just work your shit out, man.
Yeah. Try and make it happen.
And don't be rebellious to your parents that are paying fees for you, guys.
Yeah, don't. Actually.
Yeah, if you're not taking the money, you can stand up for yourself. But yo, no, dad, I'm not doing this. But if you're taking money from them, man, you just suck it up and, you know, be a doctor. Mona, if there's anything else you want to share with the people who are listening to this podcast.
Oh, well, I got to say I love you all for listening and... watch, comment, like.
okay, subscribe as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, you just normally we put a little bit bits and, you know, of content that we feel like people should know. For example, we did put content on attacks in SA,
mm-hmm.
like how often they happen, you know, how to go about them. we also did put a few on, you know, the racism Cape Town. Ashley, you know, she just spilled it all out. Yeah. I mean, she didn't leave anything behind. So if you want to get to know all of it, follow us on our YouTube accounts. It's just 360 places with a Z. We're going to have Mona on some episode. I think I'm going to invite Mona and Ashley, two South Africans. I think that, okay. Yeah, that's going to be dope. I mean,
mm-hmm, interesting.
Yeah. And bring up the beautiful, you know, part of South Africa so that people could know.
We have to let them know.
Mm-hmm. We just don't have to feed you the bad part. So this was the 360 Places podcast. And thank you for tuning in. And I'm going to see you guys on the next one.
Ciao.
So I have this new style of like saying ciao.
Okay.
No, like, I also don't remember. Fine, I don't remember.
Ciao.